Beloved radio friends, in the precious and the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we greet you again. It is a joy to come to you with the Word of God before us and the teaching of that precious Word concerning the future program that God has, not only for the church, but as we are now singing, for the nation of Israel. We've touched upon some precious and important truths regarding his program with Israel ahead. We are now touching upon the fact that God will send to Israel what the Word of God declares, as we have seen, a wicked or a foolish shepherd, a false Messiah. We continue the subject of Israel's wicked Messiah that is to come, and we read in the book of the Revelation, chapter 13, beginning at verse 11 to the end of the chapter, where we find that he is also called in this section the false prophet in the book of the Revelation. We have in verse 11 these words as we read, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he hath power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword, and did live. And he had power to give life, or breath, unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand, or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and its number is 666. May God bless the reading of his word. May the Holy Spirit give us the illumination from it, which is greatly needed for its interpretation to be right. We touch again upon Israel's wicked and false Messiah. He is found in the 11th chapter, or rather the 13th chapter of the Revelation, from verses 11 and 18, to be the false prophet of that coming day. Oh, may I point to you from verse 11? That he is a vile imitator of Christ. John sees in his vision a beast coming up out of the earth, possessing two horns like a lamb. One can recognize the implication of this expression, a lamb. Most unusual to have this name given to him. If you have read and studied the book of the Revelation, you will find that the word lamb is a predominant title given in the book of the Revelation 28 times for our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is called the lamb in Revelation 28 times. Now here we have the false prophet spoken of and written of as being like a lamb. One can then understand from the expression, this is a vile imitator of Christ, and yet he has two horns, and the horns speak of power, for he is Israel's accepted king or Messiah, and he is Israel's accepted prophet. But then you note at the end of verse 11, his voice is the voice of the dragon. The dragon gives him his mouth. The dragon causes him to speak. The dragon energizes his voice, and one can recognize when he speaks, it is with the voice of Satan and satanic authority behind him. Said the Lord Jesus in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And my beloved, I wish to assure," do I need to assure you, "that the one who will be the false Messiah, the Antichrist of that coming day, he will speak with the voice of the dragon." Oh yes, his words may be smooth. His words may be polite. His words may be persuasive. But so are the words of the serpent, the devil himself. Now may I point out something concerning him. And that is in beginning at verse 12. And going down through the chapter through verse 17. That this false shepherd, this wicked Messiah, this false prophet in the book of the Revelation will be the chief agent to exalt what we have in the preceding part of our chapter, the first great beast, the one who will be the civil head, the political head of that revived Roman Empire in that coming day. For the power of the first beast will be at the disposal of the false prophet for the purpose of exalting the world emperor in that coming day of trouble. Now may I read verse 12. He exercises, he has at his control all the power of the first beast before him. I do not know whether you have read this chapter, but if you read the first part of this chapter, you will find there is another person rising in that terrible day out of the unsettled, chaotic conditions of the nations. He will be a political and civil power in that day. He will be a strong political power of universal military might. Now let me repeat. If you read the chapter, you will find, let me just give this expression from it, these words: in that day, the world will worship the dragon which gives authority and power unto this beast. And they worship the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And one may recognize that though the second beast, our present theme of consideration, the wicked Messiah, though he is particularly a religious power, and though he may be the king in the land of Israel, yet the first is the one who has world dominion and authority over the earth as the last world emperor. And the power of this empire, the power of this first beast, is thus at the disposal of the second beast, that he might cause the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. But then, I would like you to realize some of the mystical and miraculous powers that belong to the false Messiah, the Antichrist. Let me read verse 13 of our chapter, as well as 14. "He doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the first beast." Beloved, will you recognize something? If you know your Bible, you may know that in the Old Testament, when God first instituted the Levitical economy, and particularly the priesthood, with all of its sacrifices and ritual and ceremony, when the first sacrifice was laid upon the altar in Israel in the days of Moses and Aaron, when Moses and Aaron and the sons of Aaron had laid the sacrifice upon the altar, fire came down from heaven and devoured the sacrifice. Then, if you will, remember the days of Elijah, when on Mount Carmel, Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal to thus call fire down from heaven to consume the sacrifice. And the sacrifice that the prophets of Baal had laid upon their altar, they were unable to bring fire down from heaven. But Elijah, by in prayer and faith, So God miraculously bring fire down from heaven and consume the sacrifice, even with the water that saturated it, to prove to the Israelites, Jehovah is God. Now, beloved, listen. It is my humble opinion that there will be a rebuilt temple, and this I say according to the word of God, in Jerusalem in the days that are yet to come. And that rebuilt temple will have a resumption of the sacrifices. This false prophet, this wicked shepherd, this wicked Messiah will have miraculous power, and I would suggest his power is not divine, but rather satanic, to bring fire down from heaven into the earth in the sight of men. Now, I want to tell you very frankly, that's going to make quite a great impression. He doeth great wonders, writes the word of God. You have the same thought that he does signs and miracles and wonders as written in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8 and 9. And through these wonders of deception, he commands that the earth should make an image to the beast, the first beast which had the womb by a sword and did live. He commands not only the worship and the adoration of his own earthly people, but he commands worldwide worship of the first beast, the man who will be the political head and the military power, the great world emperor of that coming time. My beloved, let me just pause very briefly to reflect with you upon the days that lie before this world. We're talking about what is in the future. We have certainly touched upon the future for the church, and I thank God that I belong to the church, which is the body of Christ. I thank God I have a blessed hope. Christ is coming for his bride. Christ is coming for me. I hope that you are saved and that you will be amongst the company which shall be taken when Christ comes for the church. But when you reflect, and when I reflect on the days that will follow, there are days upon the earth that will never have been equaled in human history for their wickedness, for their lawlessness, and all. My beloved, there is to rise upon the earth two of the most infamous characters the world shall ever have known. I do not wish to be living on the earth in that day. I would rather put my trust in the true shepherd, the true Messiah of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and not come under the deceptive influence of the wicked men of that coming day. Beloved, let me ask you, do you know the true Christ of God? If you know him not, make him your Savior today. Shall we pray? Father, we pray that the Spirit of God will quicken and awaken the consciences of many to turn to Christ today and receive him as their Savior in his precious name.